Today on Real Radio.
Oh, please don't be discouraged with what I'm going to say. Rather, be encouraged that when you come to that place and you say, God, I surrender. Jesus, I can't do this. Oh, then he comes in with great power.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're looking at a section in chapter 10 that tells us of the success in the ministry of 70 unnamed individuals empowered and sent out by the Messiah. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Checking In.
Then the 70 that he sent out returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits or demons are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Verse 23, then he turned to his disciples, that's by the way the 12, and said to them privately, blessed are your eyes, which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. What a sweet moment. Checking in, that's right. Checking in is exactly what these 70 disciples of Jesus were excited to do. He had sent them out, but now it was time for them to come back. And as they came back, it is a declaration of the commissioning of Jesus, that Jesus knows what he's talking about, for one thing, and that what he sent them to do is an awesome, vital work. I wish I had the time to read all those emails that we got. Almost every one of them stated, my faith has been increased. I couldn't wait to write this email. I can't wait to get back out there and share Jesus again, though I'm scared to do it. It is always a scary thing to do something for God because we live in these fleshly bodies. But they got the taste of what it is to share Christ. These 70 disciples, they got the taste of what it's like to share Jesus. It's absolutely incredible. It's awesome. And so they're checking in. They are checking in. And listen, kind of paint this picture in your mind. When I hear the word checking in, when I was younger, checking in was, Mom, I'm playing hide and seek out here. Another hour, Mom? Checking in. My mom would always say, check in. So I'd check in. And then school came, you know, and sometimes we'd have to check in for that. Maybe we were doing things or saying things or involved in things we ought not to have been involved in, and we had to go check in to the principal's office, as often was my calling in life. But now that I'm older, it's checking in this way. Maybe I'm traveling, and as you walk up to the hotel or the motel, it's, are you checking in? Or you'll state, or you'll announce, I'm checking in. And you never say that unless you expect your name to be written down there. You don't check in to a place that you don't have reservations at. They look for your name. In fact, when you say, I'm checking in, they're going to ask you, what's your name? That's normal. I'm checking in. Well, what's your name? Jesus is going to be announcing to the disciples, and I want you to mark this. It's awesome. Jesus is going to be telling them that you and I, as believers, have every right, privilege, and honor in the world to daily, moment by moment, be checking in with the Lord, because there's a reservation in heaven with our name there. There's a name. Are you a Christian this morning? What's going on in your life? Doesn't matter. Your name is written down in heaven if you're a believer this morning, and there is a reservation there. There's a line. Can you imagine? There's a line with your name, and there's a place reserved for you. I am excited about that. The disciples are going to find something very assuring about that. So when we talk about checking in, this is what we're going to look at. Number one is this, checking in to a new life in Christ. If we are now, as these 70 disciples found out, that their life was brand new in Jesus. How so? Number one, this way, in Christ means that they've surrendered to Jesus. These 70 followers of Christ, again, we don't know who they are. It's not important. They surrendered to Jesus Christ, and for that reason, they were able to go out. Verse 17, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. What a great thing. They come back in joy. Now, for those of you who sat on your Bible this week and you didn't go share, and you're wondering, oh, yeah, I forgot, or I conveniently forgot not to go share Jesus with somebody. Listen, do you see this right here? Just in verse 17, there was a joy that came upon those who shared Jesus. This is a fact. Are you guys listening? This is an absolute fact that when you go and share Christ to the world, you have something that happens that you can't explain. I don't know what to tell you. There's things that the world offers. Drink this, pop this pill, snort this thing, and you'll have a feeling. You know what? What a stupid thing. Look, let me throw you all into the pot of evil with me, okay? At some point in time in our ancient lives, we did one of those things or all those things. For what? Oh, man, it's really cool. For how long? Oh, you know, for this long. How much did it cost you? About this much. Hey, listen, did you get hooked? Then what does it cost you? Oh, it's kind of cute to flirt around with the things that the world offers. And if you get a little buzz from this or a little bit of fuzz from that, you think, oh, man, this is living. This is great. You've been tricked and deceived. And look, you got to listen to me. I'm not your parent. I don't gain anything by telling you this. I'm not getting paid by somebody to tell you this. I'm telling you right now, go ahead and eat your drugs. Eat them. Go eat them. Snort them up. Smoke it. Shoot it up. Sit in it. Roll in it. You will not be content, happy, and blessed. In fact, you'll wind up getting hooked, broke, and bummed out every single time. These guys came back with joy, and you might say, well, you know what? What kind of joy? Huge joy, big joy, an amazing joy. A joy, by the way, that doesn't run out. A joy that's not something that's depleting. Watch this. They shared Jesus Christ. They found out that it resulted in great joy. They come back with such a vitality, and they're so excited. Can you imagine what a great gig this is? Lord, we got to tell you, demons even obey us in your name. Now, I don't know. People have written in books about, you know, they shouldn't have been excited about this, that they were getting heady and high-minded about it. We don't even know if that's true. But I got to tell you something. You got to be honest. If you go out and share the name of Jesus with somebody, and especially somebody who's caught up into some occultic or cult-type activity, and you're sharing Jesus, and you wind up finding out that demons are subject to you in the name of Jesus Christ, I think you're going to get excited. Now, you shouldn't run around and say, where's a demon? Don't do that. And listen, nobody wants to go to a church service where they're casting out demons. That's crazy. You say, well, what's the context of this? These were sent out by Jesus to an unbelieving world. They were short-term missionaries, if I can put it that way, and they were taking on the kingdom of darkness. And when that amount of light, that is Jesus Christ in them, when that amount of light gets into a dark place, things happen. The kingdom is shaken. There's a new life in Christ. And if you and I want power, we need to surrender to Jesus Christ in our emotions, in our thoughts, in our life, everything that we have. Surrender it to Christ and watch what he does with it. What a great scene this must have been when they came back with joy. Why? Because the word joy here means a deep, abiding cheerfulness of the soul. An abiding calm delight. It's almost like an oxymoron. How can you have a deep, abiding, calm delight? And yet that's exactly what the word means. What the world offers you in a spike or in a moment, God offers you absolute fulfillment of this. They came back. They have never experienced this before. Just as some in this church never experienced sharing Christ before. And they got that taste this week. 70 joyful disciples came back finding out the power that they had through Jesus Christ. And Jesus, as we'll learn in a moment, was smiling over this event. That, Lord, even the demons they announce are subject to us. And what's the key? In your name. The word name here is authority. We found out, Jesus, that when we proclaim you, the word of God, that even demonic activity submits in your name. Everything that they did was in your name. It was a success. They came back with great joy. But why was this true? And why will it be true in your life? Because they had been given the mission by Jesus himself. He had called them. He said, as I read a moment ago in Luke chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, he commissioned them to go. Whatever the Lord tells you to go and do, he will bless it. In fact, somebody wrote in that note, and apparently I didn't plan on this, but I'm going to be referencing these notes during the course of the study as I've read them. One guy had said in his note that he was praying that God would open the door, but hoping God wouldn't. I understand that emotion. Don't you understand that? Where you kind of pray trembling. Oh, I know I'm supposed to pray. Oh, God, open the door. Not really. You know? But this guy went on to say that the moment the door was opened of opportunity, he knew then and there, and this is cute, he knew then and there that God had opened the door, and he said, and I prayed one more time. Kind of like Gideon we're learning on Wednesday nights, huh? Let's find out again. But this great power was over the fact that they had surrendered to Jesus. My friend, you find yourself in your own strength, combating the things of this world. Maybe it's a family problem or whatever problem in life. Listen, you're not going to have much victory in that. But when you come to that place, oh, please don't be discouraged with what I'm going to say. Rather, be encouraged. That when you come to that place and you say, God, I surrender. Jesus, I can't do this. Oh, then he comes in with great power. In 1 Thessalonians 5:24, there the scripture says, he who calls you is faithful and will also do it. Do you have a task before you? I think of Pastor Harka heading back to Nepal this week. He's got a task before him. Who's going to do it? Listen, you can be smart enough to do some things. Maybe you're wealthy enough to do some things, but none of that will last. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it, says the Bible. Psalm 127, verse 1. The application is this to our lives about surrendering to Jesus. Is it really true? I know it's true, but is it really true in my life, in your life, that Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I love that verse because you know what? When I'm weak, Paul the Apostle said, what? Then I'm strong. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But what things are those? Listen, everything he tells you to go and do, you can be successful in it because he told you to do it. He's faithful and he strengthens us. Here's the key. Just do what you're doing because he told you to do it. That's the key. If demons are subject to them in his name, then what about life? You say, Jack, that's really nice for them. You know, they walked around in Jesus' name. Demons rolled over and died or whatever happened. That's great. But what about my life? Well, wait a minute. What about our lives? If Satan's lieutenants, colonels, privates, and sergeants were subject to 70 unnamed believers, there's more than 70 here right now, who simply obeyed Jesus Christ, then why not the power of Christ in our lives being applied to what is it? Whatever is in your life, what is that thing? Oh, yeah, he can deal with demons, but can he deal with this in my life? Maybe it's temptation, or maybe it's anger or temper. Temper. You guys, you know, summer, I guess school's out now, right? Is school out? I know enough that there's some schools that are out because now these kids are no longer in school and they're driving now and they're loose on the road. And they're, they're weaving around and it's dangerous out there. And I don't know about you, but that starts to tempt my temper. And I want to tell them something. Where'd you learn how to draw? No, you know. the temper begins to flare up. And I'm not going to tell you some of the stuff I do. Lisa always goes, Jack? Oh, I don't say anything. But I can do sound effects pretty well. And I can make the car sound like there's a barrage of anti-aircraft artillery going off. So I make all these noises, and it always startles our guest that's with us. But the temper will arise, and it's, oh, I have to give that stuff to God. You may say, well, that's not a problem with me. It's a problem with me. I have the problem. And if Jesus commissions these no-names to go out and cast out demons and heal the sick and all the stuff that they did, then listen, I know this, that if I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, then I need to take my temper. You fill in the blank for you. Is it being angry at God? Is it shaking your fist at him? Whatever it might be, take that thing and say, Lord, I'm not happy right now. I'm pretty upset right now. But I tell you what, your Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You sent those 70 no-names out there with power of the devil and the demons and all that stuff. I'm asking you, God, in Jesus' name, give me strength over my temptation of fill in the blank. Pornography, anger, vengeance, whatever it is. Will he not do it? Is he not able? He is more than able. Surrendering to him matters. A new life in Christ, number 2, verses 18 and 19, we learn this, that Christ means in us a new life that we've received from Jesus. They got their marching orders from Jesus himself. Jesus said, verse 18, this is awesome, you guys. Quite frankly, I don't care if we get any further than this verse. Will you mark this verse? It's sweet. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Oh, yeah. I like this. I like this because he goes on to say, next breath, behold, the word is look. I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, Jesus says, behold, I give you the authority. Definite article, the, not some authority, the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. This authority and power is seen, listen, when needed. What does that mean? You see, Jack, I love the Bible. The letters are written and read, but I want to receive this in my life. Here's the truth of the matter. Jesus makes verse 18 a true theological declaration. And we'll look at this closely in a moment. I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. That's a statement of fact. Wow. Then Jesus says, all right, look here. This is the power and the authority that's been given to you. You say, well, I want that. You want that. Do you really want that? Here's the thing. This power and this authority is seen as needed. Jesus didn't say to some other group of 70 who sat around the Sea of Galilee fishing, all power and authority I give to you. For what? To catch fish. To sit in a boat and talk. No. No, no, no. You will not have power and authority unless it's needed. Does that bum you out? I want to see some stuff. I want to see some action. I want to see legs growing and eyeballs coming out. I don't know. I want to see some movement. I want to see demons running. And then get up and go where it's needed. Then get to Nepal. Get to Bangladesh. Get to South America. Go. Well, why not Newport Beach? Why not here? Get out there. Go to the hospitals and visit people. Yeah, I don't know anybody there. You don't need to know anybody there. They're hurting. They're in need. Go. Reach them. Pray for them. Yeah, but I don't know them. So they don't know you. You're safe. Go pray for them. Listen, it's amazing because what we'll do, we'll go to the hospital to visit with somebody, and then look, you've got to go by other rooms on the way out of the hospital. And you're a Christian. What's my authority? You're a Christian. I guarantee you, never, ever, ever, never have we ever been stopped to pull into somebody else's bed, pull in there and say, excuse me, would you like prayer? No one's ever said, get out of here. Strangers, yes, yes, please pray. Try it. They don't know you. You don't know them. Put yourself, pray, go, step out, watch what God does, and you'll see power and authority, and you'll be the one most surprised and blessed about what's happening. It's amazing. He's so good to us. We just need to see more of him, but we need to go to where he's at. Jesus is in the inner city, you know. Jesus is among the homeless. Jesus is among the hurting. And so, he says, now listen, we're going to spend some time in this because we need to. It's going to encourage us. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. For 2,000 years, church, listen up. Scholars have agreed on this, that verse 18 is one of the most difficult verses in all of the Bible to properly interpret. Why? Is it because it's unreliable? No. Is it because it's confusing? No. Is it because it's vague? Oh, no. Is it because there's a lack of biblical support behind it? No way. The exact opposite's true. Check this out. For 2,000 years, the scholars have bickered about this thing because the statement is so global. It is such a vast declaration that Jesus makes that the words that he used are very, very present at all times. What I mean by that is what he said was true then, it was true before then, it's true now, and it will be true forever. It's an amazing collection of words that Jesus uses. Very, very powerful. Number one, you might want to jot it down if you care. I hope you do. Number one, the scholars say this. Regarding the past, there was Satan's original fall before the Garden of Eden. That's what Jesus is referring to. Some scholars say that. When Jesus, who is eternal, said, I saw Satan fall from heaven, the word means that he saw, he is seen, and he will continue to see. Let's see how complex it is. In the Greek, it's that pregnant with meaning. So some scholars say, Jesus watched and made announcement about the fall of Satan out of heaven when Lucifer, he rebelled against the Lord, got that title Satan, and was booted from his glorious position. You can read about that in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28. It's about the past. Well, it is, but some scholars regard it concerning the present. That Jesus watched this literally in his spiritual ability to see in the spiritual realm. Jesus saw, watch, Satan fall from heaven while the ministry of the 70 was enacted, while they were serving, while they were ministering, while the 70 were out there doing ministry, Satan fell. He lost his grip, is what the word means. Isn't that cool? I like that. He lost his grip.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a presentation called Checking In, a look at Luke chapter 10 and verses 17 through 24. Part of our journey through this fascinating New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we do want to remind you of a couple of outreaches we have here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. First, hischannel.com carries our television outreach called Journey with Jack Hibbs. Journey with Jack Hibbs on hischannel.com. His channel also airs our midweek study on Wednesday nights. Just visit us at realradioactive.org and click on the link, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And if you're enjoying our radio and television outreaches, drop us a line and let us know. If you'd like to do it the traditional way, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.